Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 16th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and this week we sit down with Joe Lupo, the president of Hard Rock Atlantic City, on how his property survived the pandemic and how it has steadily gained market share since reopening. Today's program is brought to you by Konami Gaming and Synchros, ranked the top in the industry for multi-site functionality according to software reviews. South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere. Joe Lupo joined Hard Rock International in 2016, where he was assigned to oversee the expansion of the Hard Rock Tampa property, one of the most successful casinos in the world. 2 years later, he was transferred to lead the Atlantic City Hard Rock, as it had a tough time getting off the ground after opening in the summer of 2018. Lupo knows Atlantic City like the back of his hand. He spent over 12 years as an executive with Borgata, still Atlantic City's most successful casino. Lupo talked about how his property and his company navigated the pandemic, how it managed the reopening process, and why it's gaining market share every month now that all restrictions have been removed. He spoke with me for the cover story of the August issue at his office in Hard Rock in June. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Our guest today is Joe Lupo. Joe, thanks for joining us. It's been great to see you, and you've done a great job here at Hard Rock. What a transformation this property has gone through, and now you are really ramping it up to its ultimate capacity here.
Yeah, we couldn't be more pleased. I give a lot of credit to Jim Allen and the job he's done here to give us a great product and provide a lot of efforts to our team members, especially this last year. But the success of the property this last year has been just amazing. I think obviously we're really doing well as we compare ourselves with the rest of the property. So I'm really happy for the team. The safe and sound protocols that we instituted made a big difference, and we've remained aggressive in a market that's been declining since we reopened in July. And we've been doing pretty well, seeing increases month over month. So. Sure. Couldn't be happier.
Great. Well, let's talk about the pandemic. That was obviously a very difficult time for everybody, but you guys seem to navigate it pretty well. I was interviewing Jim Allen a couple of months ago, and he explained how the Safe and Sound program got started and how people emulated it, not just in gaming, but all across other industries and government. So how did you implement that here, and how did the employees respond?
Well, we had a lot of support from corporate and some of the resources they provided us with the top thermal imaging, I think, in the country.
Right.
We had thousands of guests being able to walk into our property without stopping, seeing their temperature being taken over their head. So I think it gave them gave them trust in the fact that they felt safe, and others that they were moving about the casino with would feel safe as well. We spent a lot of time and effort on our cleanliness, our team that worked on that by instituting, by hiring more team members, by putting them in lime green shirts so it was evident that they were throughout the casino. We implemented more plexiglass than just about any other property, and we were very aggressive from that standpoint. So we took this approach that let's make the safest property in Atlantic City. And as we saw that turnout and we heard feedback, we did focus groups.
Sure.
We just continue to hear great feedback that people did feel safer here. And as vaccinations started happening, those individuals who were a little tentative at first would walk in and they felt safe here. So, again, I give a lot of credit to Jim and the help from the corporate team. We have a great team here. They implemented it. They were aggressive. And we also worked hard at implementing more food and beverage outlets than any other property.
Right.
You saw a lot of properties around town that would close their restaurants, and instead we were opening every one that we could. In fact, we opened every restaurant outside that we could, and then once we got the nod to have indoor dining, we opened all of our restaurants. So while we spread people out, we did it safe, and that visitor to Atlantic City wants to gamble, drink, and eat, and
so
we gave them that opportunity.
Yeah. Well, you also were great for your employees. I mean, you gave away food cards, every couple of months, and how did you stay in touch with your employees during that time when they weren't physically in the building?
Yeah, that was a big effort by our human resources team. Mm-hmm. We had a few on staff, and we had a few of those that were constantly keeping in touch with employees. Employees had a lot of questions. They had a lot of concerns, obviously. Right. Benefit questions and medical questions and employment questions. So we kept some of the staff on property even while we were closed to be able to answer those questions. Again, we took a lot of direction from the help down south, down in Florida.
Right.
And the gym and the owners, our minority owners, just gave us all the support with gift cards that we did that, I believe, three or four times throughout the year. We extended benefits. And again, we were looking to hire people. We were trying to bring back people. And I think while others were cutting back and cutting labor because of that cost, I think the fact that we had some more labor and we were showing that initiative, we had more customers come in, and obviously we grew our revenue.
Okay. So I've heard from a lot of the operators that the demographic skewed younger when you reopened because the older people were very reluctant. Are they coming back now, the older generation?
Yeah, you know, every segment, which we have a metric and a graph, it's unbelievable how equal it is. But every segment, as it got older, you saw declines. But every segment has come back.
Sure.
Some of the over 60 especially hasn't come back to where it was in 2019, but you have seen increases in some of the younger demographic from 2019. So it is coming back, especially probably since March, since you saw vaccines really come into play. And we're seeing that 30 to 50-year-old demographic come back to the 2019 levels. However, there are still less people coming to Atlantic City, and that older demographic who would really drive in for day trips midweek aren't skewing as heavy as they were. I will probably see that turn around here with the summer.
Okay, great, great. So, since the Hard Rock opened, you know, you've been very successful, especially in the past year. You've always been in the top three in revenue, usually number two. So, why do you think your customers are responding to your program here at Hard Rock?
We give them a great place to play. We have been very aggressive from a promotional and reinvestment standpoint, and we've really been concentrating on service. I have a great service team who we follow up on every call, on every letter, on every email. We've worked really hard at trying to improve processes so the customer experience is a little easier than it was. Anytime a property opens, you go through whether there's red tape or process knots. So we've been working really hard at that, but we've also been staying extremely aggressive. I have a different philosophy than some of the others, and when the market's down, if we want to grow, you have to be aggressive to get after it.
Yeah.
So we've been doing that, and I think we've taken advantage of some other operators not taking that same stance. And only being a couple years in, we obviously didn't have that database either. And so having that ability to garner that visitation from some of our competitors' loyal guests for the first time has been really important.
Well, you know, at least two of your competitors are going through a transition, ownership transition, and there's been some discontent on how that's being handled. Have you been able to attract some of those players over here?
We have, definitely. You know, the market's been shrinking since we reopened in July. The market was down 30-40%. It's seen it's obviously been increasing. Still down, though, in April, it was the last numbers that we saw, to 2019. And, you know, that's not a good thing. Obviously, we're hoping that the city rebounds. It'll be obviously easier for us to make more money when the tide rises for everybody. But in the meantime, yeah, there's a couple properties here in town and a couple organizations that are really having difficulties, but they've also taken a different approach. And while their stock price might be a little bit more important than their revenue stream, right now we're trying to grow revenue, grow visitation, grow our database, and we've shown that we're doing that and doing it very well.
Is that an advantage you guys have that, you know, you don't have people looking at your stock price every day?
Well,
I know that the tribal leadership is looking at your performance every day, but
I think the advantage that we have is that we're making all the decisions here in this boardroom and another boardroom about our property. We don't have anybody in Las Vegas or in Florida dictating how we do business. I have a lot of industry leading executives here that we really collaborate, spend a lot of time. We dive in over numbers every day about this city, our property, the other properties, and we're really knowledgeable about the other eight properties here in town. So we're very tactical, very strategical about our business here in Atlantic City, and I think for that reason we've done very well.
Great. So we've seen the gaming revenue really, really bounce back. How quickly is the non-gaming revenue coming back?
Well, to be clear, online land-based gaming revenue hasn't bounced back.
Right, right.
Online revenue has been doing well.
Sure.
Obviously, I think some third parties and some of the properties took advantage, obviously, of the pandemic when the properties were closed. But non-gaming revenue, I think, will definitely bounce back here this summer. Mm-hmm. Having year-over-year trends, it's tough to equate that because we only got to be full occupancy May 28th.
Mm-hmm.
So our food and beverage revenue has not, been able to compare with the limited number of seats.
Sure.
That being said, we've been full and have had some record-setting days immediately since the occupancy restrictions were taken off.
Right.
Our hotel has been doing very well,
right.
Even without the convention business. Mm-hmm. So I'm really encouraged by that, and when conventions come back, we should see a really nice lift. But food and beverage has been tough, but I think food and beverage is obviously going to have a big, big summer.
For those listening who currently operate a multi-site casino portfolio or are looking toward expansion, Konami Synchros has the industry's true one-card loyalty system solution to help you achieve your goals. Patron activity at one casino location, including comp points, tier points, pin resets, address changes, and more, can be seamlessly shared at sister properties in real time with Konami Synchros. Data is automatically maintained for absolute consistency and data integrity across your entire property portfolio. For more, schedule a demo at KonamiGaming.com/system. And now back to our podcast.
So, entertainment. I see you've got a whole list of people coming to the Edis Arena and Sound Waves as well.
Yeah, I'm excited about entertainment coming back. We have some great, great names with Journey and Kiss and...
Right.
Guns N' Roses for two nights, probably the biggest show the city's
right.
seen in years.
Sure.
And a lot of shows. We have a Rat Pack show that's in our Sound Waves theater and a couple other small shows in that 1,300-seat theater. So it's a staple and a brand pillar of hard rock.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously have the biggest arena in Atlantic City. We had almost 4,000 people in this past Saturday night with Darius mm-hmm. Rucker. And I'll tell you, it was just a different vibe and smiles. And so many people would walk up and say, it's just so nice to have this energy. And so, you'll see a big entertainment lineup here. We're already booking in the next year with Alicia Keys and Lionel Richie. And so we're going to be very aggressive from that standpoint.
Okay, great, great. So does it really help having Soundwaves, a smaller venue, too, so you can bring in kind of the B-level acts that, or the up-and-coming acts?
Yeah, there's a lot of acts that it seats 1,300. So there's a lot of acts that some of them are older, some of the classic rock bands that draw those 1,000-person acts.
Right.
And then for our what I would call our production shows. Mm-hmm. Alan Valentine does a great job for us, and we have a show in there every Saturday and Sunday through July and every Sunday. So it gives our customers something to do, something to see if they come down. So,
sure.
We utilize that room quite a bit.
Well, you mentioned meetings and conventions. As I walked in, I saw you got a small conference trade show going on already. So are you getting a lot of interest in that sector there?
Yeah, our sales team, who we kept on a few of those members throughout the pandemic all year long, has stayed in touch with those groups. It's extremely vital here in Atlantic City and to our property with 150,000 square feet of space to be able to book those rooms midweek. So they've done a fantastic job at rebooking if not all, most, I would say, of those conventions that we had booked over this last year that had to push out through late 21 and 22. So we're going to see a very busy fall and a busy 2022. So I couldn't be more excited.
Mm-hmm. And that will really help, the room occupancy in the off season as well.
Yeah, that midweek room occupancy is just really vital to Atlantic City, especially during the off season. So we'll see some really nice business. I think it's going to be a really busy late 2021 and a busy 2022 from a convention standpoint.
No question. So, this is a relatively new property, and you just announced a $20 million program for capital reinvestment, including some of the things that have been lacking in other AC properties in the past. So what do you included in those plans?
One of the biggest parts of that is 90 suites that we're upgrading.
Uh-huh.
That suite customer is really important. That slot player is really important, obviously, staying overnight. In this city, so being able to put to add about half of that to the 90 suites, really impactful. We are adding another restaurant The Sandpiper Coastal Bar and Grill, which opens later this week. We added a Starbucks. We upgraded our beachfront bar and grill outside. And so we've got a couple other things that we're doing from a slot standpoint, promotional activities as well. So we're really encouraged.
Okay, great. So when you first were looking at coming to Atlantic City, the city government made a lot of promises to Hard Rock of things that they would do, to make your property profitable. Have they really kept up those promises?
Well, the pandemic has been tough on everybody,
sure.
So I can't fault anyone for trying to work through that. Obviously, Atlantic City has some opportunities still with mm-hmm. paving of roads. We've received some good news about cameras and lighting on Pacific Avenue, and I think there's still a lot of work to be done. There's been some nice refurbishment here, especially on Virginia
and
this area where we are specifically, but there's a lot of Atlantic City that needs some more help, and we're working through that, and hopefully the governor and the state will look at Atlantic City and provide some dollars to help through that effort.
Okay. Is there more the Casino Association can do to work with the city and the state government?
We are. It's difficult when, a lot of these companies aren't here in Atlantic City, and I think that's what makes us different, and that's where Jim and Michael and Joe Gingoli and Jack Morris have shown real leadership and a real vocal voice.
Right.
When owners are in Las Vegas and Carson City and elsewhere, it's a little bit difficult. Mm. So we're trying to take that leadership effort by ourselves on our own. And while the CNJ can help, you have some of those properties have had some real difficulties, especially with so many properties in Las Vegas, which had a really, really tough year. So while it's, we need to work together, the CNJ, I think there's a lot of good communication.
Mm-hmm.
There's properties that have different interests, and that's where I think from our standpoint, we need to focus on ourselves and focus on how we can help the city.
Okay. So the CRDA is bringing in another beach concert this year, and as far as I look at it, they're competing with you guys. I mean, is that fair?
No, I wouldn't say so. There are different concerts that I think that are better and worse for Atlantic City,
mm-hmm.
and I think in this case, Phish will do great for the 3 days that they're here. They will bring in a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be beneficial. It'll obviously help the properties down at the south end more than us,
mm-hmm.
but it has definitely, we've already seen increases in hotel rooms,
right.
and
mm-hmm.
That's an older demographic, which I appreciate.
That's true.
A couple more dollars in their pocket,
mm-hmm.
and I think it'll be more advantageous for the city.
Okay. Yeah, they're a big jam band, right?
they are.
Right. Kind of like the Grateful Dead, but
yep.
Younger than my generation, though, unfortunately. So let's talk about the online gaming. I mean, that obviously was a big part of revenue for a lot of the casinos.
Yeah.
Hard Rock has just appointed a bunch of superstars to run their online gaming and online sports book. How much did you count on that during the pandemic? And do you think that this improvement is going to really bolster that online gaming revenue?
Yeah, I wouldn't say we really counted on it. I think we took it as an opportunity to
mm-hmm.
grow the database.
Right.
Obviously, people couldn't come here, and you saw a lot of dollars being spent in the state with advertising from all the online operators. And for our standpoint, we had not been up as long as some of the other operators. So
sure.
it was, again, a chance for us to build our database and create that engine as we continue to see those increases
mm-hmm.
Even this year. From the standpoint of the Hard Rock Digital team, we have an all-star team down south, and they
right.
are working on it. I think they'll take they're building the team, they're building the foundation, building their strategy, and I think 2021 and probably especially 2022, you'll see that develop, especially with the positive changes they've seen in Florida as
sure.
well.
Sure, yeah, no question. Now that they can have online sports betting anyway in Florida, and this is a great place for online gaming, so you'll be able to really get your feet on the ground when it comes to that, for sure.
Yeah, Jim hired the best in the business,
right.
very frankly, so we're excited about it.
Well, you have a live dealer room here at Hard Rock, correct?
We do. We have a third-party partner with
mm-hmm.
Evolution,
right.
and
yep.
we're looking at others, and we have a lot of space in this big old building,
sure,
and
right.
so
yep.
We're trying to, again, look at maximize our square footage, and we want to be a leader in the online business
mm-hmm.
as well.
Have you been able to really use online gaming to bring players into the bricks and mortar facility?
We have. You know, as I talked about it with the Hard Rock Digital guys, most of our customers that play online are only 2 hours away from us at the most. Mm-hmm. So it really gives us an opportunity to speak to those customers if they haven't been here, or incentivize them and work with our promotional activity here on property to bring them in, as well as talk to new customers that come into the property and then talk to them about online activity. So, yeah, it's definitely, we cross-reference all the database, and we'll see that grow. But in the summer is our slow time online, so we'll hope to bring them into the property. Mm-hmm. In our winter, it's our busier time online. So it kind of works hand-in-hand with the seasonality of Atlantic City.
Great. So AGA just recently released their State of the States report, which showed Atlantic City being the number two jurisdiction in revenue right beyond the Las Vegas Strip. Do you think Atlantic City can maintain that in the face of possible, you know, new casinos in New York City and Chicago and things of that nature?
Well, if casinos are generated in New York City, that'll be tough.
Yeah.
For the time being, though, I don't see why we shouldn't. And mm-hmm. I expect things to see things grow. There's a lot of other gaming, a lot of other great gaming throughout the country, a lot of other Hard Rocks popping up throughout the country. So I think you'll see that grow, but I think Atlantic City, needs that commitment from especially some of our other competitors that there needs to be reinvestment in the product, and there needs to be reinvestment to our guests. And I think, again, that's a big differentiator for us where others are pulling back. So it'll be interesting to see how things play out, but we should remain number two.
Okay, great. All right, just one more question. After we conclude this interview, you're going to go give a press conference to tell people what Hard Rock has been up to and what your plans are. What are you going to say that you haven't already talked about?
Well, I'm going to say it's our third anniversary, so we couldn't be more excited.
Okay.
Thankful to Jim and the owners and the Seminole Tribe, most importantly. Thankful to our team members for creating our property to be the market-leading property, if not one or two this last year, and seeing the biggest market-leading growth. And third, we have a charitable commitment to a couple partners that we're going to give today. Mm-hmm. Charity in the Atlantic County, especially region, has been a priority for us, priority for our owners. So we're going to give back a few dollars to the community. The community especially needs it through the pandemic. Been proud of our team and the dollars that we spent through this last year, even during closure. And we want to remain committed to that and show our community that we care about them. So I'm going to make a commitment here in a few minutes.
And your team members have also, volunteered their time and efforts as well to help the community, which is always commendable.
Yeah, I think they really see the difference in our ownership and management as opposed to their neighbors and friends who work at some other properties who did not give away gift cards to everybody, who did not put food on the table, and who didn't hire more people. So we've made a big difference to the community, but to our team members as well. We've been improving the back of house. And our team members make the difference. They have if they're in a good mood, if they think highly of the of management and they trust us, we gain their trust back, and they give that great service. And I think it's been a big differentiator for our property.
Great. Well, Joe, congratulations on making it through the pandemic in such a good fashion, and also the success you've had since then. And I'm sure you're going to see much more success in the future. So thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for being here. Thank you so much.
Hope you enjoyed today's podcast, with special thanks to Konami Gaming. Reach out to your Konami rep if you are interested in learning more about Synchros' one-card solution. To learn more about Atlantic City and its competitive market, visit ggbmagazine.com. For all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the recovery from the pandemic, delivered to your desktop every Monday morning, sign up for free at ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. And don't miss any episode of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast. Hold on.